Chapter 3. As we went into the courtyard, I saw Peregrine holding the reins of his horse, swathed in a cloak, his thick curls shoved under a wool cap. Mistress Ashley was right. If I tried to leave him behind, he'd not stay. I loathed exposing him again to the dangers of court, but he had always served me well. He had even saved my life, twice, as he liked to remind me. I could do no better when it came to a loyal companion. Kate turned from checking Cinnabar's harness.
Ready?
She asked with brittle cheer. Except for him. I motioned to Peregrine. He started to open his mouth in protest, but I cut him off.
You're to do as I say at all times. No questions. No second-guessing me. You'll act as my squire, and a squire must be at his master's beck and call at all times. I don't need to be worrying about what kind of mischief you're getting yourself into. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, master,
he said indignantly. Kate tucked my cloak about me.
Be safe,
she said. Her voice cracked. Kate, I reached out. She took a step back.
No, no goodbyes.
I gazed into her eyes. I promise I'll send word as soon as I can.
Don't.
With that one word, she conveyed everything we dared not say aloud. The mere fact that by setting quill to paper I might betray myself.
Just come home,
she said. And she pushed past Mistress Ashley, going under the archway back into the manor. I started to go after her. Mistress Ashley stopped me.
Let her be. I'll look after her. You go now, before she changes her mind and orders her own horse saddled.
I turned back to Cinnabar. My horse snorted, eager to be off. Jumping onto a mounting block, Peregrine scrambled onto his dappled gelding. We rode to the road. I glanced over my shoulder to see Mistress Ashley framed by the red brick house, the tenacious ivy turning brown where it curled about the windows. She raised her hand in farewell. I kept looking back as she and Hatfield faded from view. Though I did not see Kate, I knew she was at one of those windows, watching me.